It is great to be here, and we do serve an awesome God, and we're just very grateful for the chance to come and talk to you all about what God's been doing in our lives, and appreciate the just allowing us this time to do that. We were missionaries in Africa, and when we were, we came, I think it was 5 years ago was the last time we were here, so it's great to be back. You guys are wonderful. You're just such a connected and welcoming group. We just have always enjoyed every time we've come here. We need to wake this up.
One more? Okay. There we go.
Right.
There we go.
Oh, all the technology. And, isn't it great?
And I have to say, right. I loved singing all the hymns. That was so touching. It just kind of calms me. And the prayer time was wonderful. That was, thank you so much.
So.
It's not. There we go.
There we are.
Okay.
All right. So, we were missionaries in Tanzania, East Africa, for about 6 years, and we came back to the States about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't you share about what you did?
A little bit about what I did in Tanzania. I was the director of the Children of Promise program there in Tanzania. We called it Safina. And, of course, Children of Promise provides money for school fees, for food, for clothing, and medicine and spiritual nurture for the kids. When I took the program over, we had about 350 kids. And when I turned it over to the next directors, we had about 700 kids all over the northern half of the country.
My work in Tanzania was working with community development, small-scale economic development projects was what I did. One of our projects was a dairy goat project where we helped people learn about how to care for and use dairy goats to help their families. Another project we worked with was dairy camels with the Maasai tribe in northern Tanzania. And those were both very interesting, exciting programs. The other thing we worked with, however, was the moringa tree. And even though that was just a tree, it was the most exciting thing we did because it impacted people with very little technology, very little cost input for the people using it, but it impacted their lives in such a dramatic way. It was the most exciting work we were doing over there.
So when we came back to the States, we got back in 2007. After Tanzania, we lived in Mexico for about 6 months, and then we ended up back here. And we got plugged back into American life. We got cars and jobs and bought a house. And after a couple years of that, we started thinking, you know, what's next, God? And the draw to cross-cultural work was still really strong in us. And so we started looking around and started talking to different organizations and seeing what's out there, what fits the skills that we have and the gifts that God's given us. And we found a number of things. And every time that we would be talking with an organization and they'd have a position that would fit our skills, we'd say, yeah, but how can we do moringa with that? Because we always knew we wanted to do moringa. And so it was always like, well, yeah, we could do those jobs, but how are we going to do moringa, which is what we really want to do? So finally, after a lot of prayer and searching and beseeching and sometimes stomping my foot and saying, God, what do you want us to do next? He really showed us, I want you to concentrate on moringa. And it was through a rather miraculous thing that I could not even deny that it was God speaking directly to me. And so we went, oh, okay, we'll do moringa. But what's that going to look like? You know, we don't know. What do you want that to look like? So over the past year, we have started our nonprofit. It's a standalone organization. It's a 501c3, which means we're tax exempt and recognized by the government as such. And so over the last year, it's been born.
Yes. Yeah, so a year and a half ago about. We got together with a group of friends and just started presenting our ideas of what we felt God was calling us to do. And out of that, Strong Harvest International was born. We do have a couple of our board members here today. John and Karen Wolf are on our board. Wave, guys. And their daughter Tara is with them. So they're part of our founding group. And it's been an interesting process to get a nonprofit launched.
It's a learning process, believe me.
Yes, learning every day. But we had to ask, what is the problem? What is that thing that we want to form this nonprofit to address? And it's we have a problem in our world, and we have many, of course. It's a broken place. One of the biggest problems on our hearts is that there's over 20,000 kids every day that are dying due to lack of good nutrition. They have unsafe drinking water and inadequate sanitation. Those things are totally preventable.
And it's not just a big number that we can't wrap our heads around. It is a big number, but you have to think of the individuals. Each one of these kids is someone's beloved child. They're someone's little pumpkin. And I can't tell you over the last 6 years or so that we've been home how many times Rick has looked at me with tears in his eyes and just said, "Jerry, kids are dying today. What are we going to do?" And so we started Strong Harvest. And the purpose of Strong Harvest, what we are focusing on, is good food and clean water and alternate sources of income. And so what would it look like if those problems were solved for a family? Well, first of all, you would have healthier pregnant women, healthier babies. You'd have a lower infant mortality rate. You'd have school-age children who had enough food and nourishment, which means that they could go to school. They could retain what they learn. And malnourished kids often have stunted growth. They have impaired mental abilities, and often they have compromised immune systems. And so that chronic state of low health really impacts their ability to function and learn. You'd also have stronger, more able-bodied parents, parents that are able to work and to provide for their families. And then once people are healthier, they're able to interact in the marketplace. Maybe they'll have small businesses in their local market, which is going to strengthen their local community, and it strengthens nations as a whole. So good food and clean water and alternate sources of income have a huge impact on the family and on the community.
So Strong Harvest International focuses on enhancing food security, improving health, and increasing economic viability at the family level. You know, we all know billions, no doubt, of dollars have been spent in foreign aid. So much of that money goes to governments, so little of it trickles down to the people who actually need it. At Strong Harvest, we're working with the people right there at the family level, at their homes, in their yards, working, you know, to teach them how to plant a tree in their yard, at their farm, that can make a difference in their lives.
So the three attributes of Moringa that we're focusing on, the first one is nutrition. And Moringa leaves are just a powerhouse of nutrition. It's one of the most nutritious plants that's been found so far. You can see it's got 2 times the protein of yogurt, 4 times the calcium of milk, 3 times the potassium of bananas, and it goes on and on. It has lots of vitamins and minerals. And a couple of really cool things is it has calcium in it, and it has antioxidants and all the essential amino acids, which essential amino acids are the ones that your body cannot produce. You must take it in through your diet, and they're the building blocks of proteins. And so you must have them, and it's one of the very few plants that has all the essential amino acids. So this is huge nutritionally.
And when you go out in the back table, there's a basket of fresh food, and there's a bag of moringa powder, and it gives you a good visual of what's really in this. I mean, it is a powerful plant. It's just amazing. Another amazing thing is that when you take the seeds and crush them into a powder, add it to dirty water, it will purify that water 90 to 98% pure. Now, for us, we go and turn on the tap, you know, not a big deal. But for people who are collecting water that looks like the jar on the left there, and that's their only option for what they have to drink, it's a huge thing. Most of those people know that they should boil their water to make it safe to drink. Most of them don't have access to enough firewood to both cook and boil their water, so they drink that.
And that really is one of the demonstrations that we did in Tanzania in a village, and the water on the left is the water they drank.
And so it's the moringa tree is a way for them to, through a simple stirring process, have access to safe drinking water. Mm-hmm. It's huge, and so many of those kids that are dying every day, it's from waterborne illnesses.
And then there's also economic benefit to the moringa tree. When moringa is introduced in a community and families start eating it, start using it to purify their water, people start to see that they're healthier, and it starts to have value. And at that point, it's something that can be sold in the local market. People can have a small business selling fresh leaves or dried leaf powder or selling seeds or saplings. Another great thing about the seeds is that they have a high oil content. They're 40% oil by weight, which is twice as much as sunflower seeds. And where we were in Africa, a lot of people grew sunflower seeds as a cash crop for the oil production. So doing oil production from moringa seeds is not that different. It's just a different plant. And it's a really high quality oil, kind of like olive oil. And so that's another thing that has a lot of potential value for a small business, for a family.
So what, as we work in developing countries, our main goal is to work together with churches. We'll also work with government organizations, local healthcare workers, schools, but our first choice is churches, because this project, this program with the moringa tree can be used in so many strengthening ways by the church. They can use it to strengthen their own congregation. You know, if there are hunger or health issues in their church, they just make their congregation stronger. And they can also use it as a tool to reach out to their community, as they teach their community about the moringa tree, and it's such a beautiful picture of God's love, because God has provided this way for even the poorest people on earth to have good food and clean water. And so when people share about the moringa tree, they share also about how this is from God. God cares about your physical life and your spiritual life. And this is, it's just a beautiful picture of it. And so churches can also use it as a development project to reach out into areas where the church isn't yet. And so they can open the door for the church to enter into a place where the gospel hasn't reached.
Our main method is to train peer educators. That means if we go in and we work with a church, those church leaders would choose people in their church who they know would be good at teaching others and who have a heart to reach out to others. And so we would train these peer educators in the cultivation and uses of moringa and in basic nutrition, in safe drinking water, and also in financial literacy and small business training. Peer educators then take all the knowledge that they've gained and they train others in their own communities. And that means that they take not only and translate our words and our teaching about moringa into their own language, but they translate it culturally so that it makes sense for where they are. And this part of it, that promotes local ownership We want this to be their project. We're bringing some knowledge that they may not have, but it needs to become their own. And then as Moringa starts to get value in the community, you're going to have entrepreneurs pop up. You always do. They're in every group. And at that point, you know, they'll be thinking, oh, maybe I can make a little extra income for my family. So at that point, we'll train for financial literacy and some small business training. So you might be thinking, what does a Moringa tree look like? With all this stuff, it should be gorgeous, right?
Yeah, not so much. It's kind of scruffy looking. It looks like kind of a weed tree. And it grows kind of like a weed tree. If you
but
plant
that's so God, isn't it?
If you plant a Moringa tree and do nothing to it, it'll grow into a 14-foot pole in probably less than a year. And all your leaves and stuff will be at the top. So it does take a method of pretty aggressive pruning to keep everything down low. The trees on the left there are in desperate need of pruning. But they've made these huge pods. Those pods can be, they're full of seeds. When they're green like that, you can cook them like okra. You can take the seeds out, cook them like peas. Good nutrition. And then on the right side there, Herman was my assistant in Tanzania. Those are dried seed pods. The seeds in those are ready for planting or pressing for oil or crushing and using for water purification. But the trees on the left there got pruned, and about 6 months later, they looked all bushy like the ones on the right there.
And so, you don't need any special knowledge to prune like you do with some trees. You just go and you hack it off. Just cut it in half, eat all the leaves that you got there, or dry them and crush them for powder. So it doesn't take special knowledge, which is fantastic. And what we were saying about Moringa being a beautiful picture of God's love, this map shows where malnutrition is most prevalent in the world, and the next map shows exactly where Moringa thrives. Moringa does not like the northern latitudes, and we're trying to grow it in our backyard right now, but this summer has been so cold. So anyways, but it likes the tropical, it likes monsoon and drought season. It thrives in drought. When other trees die, it will continue to live and to give. And it's actually in West Africa, they call it the Neba Die tree, which means the never die tree, because they're very hard to kill. In fact, you can, often people will use them as a living fence. They maybe didn't really mean to. They'll cut off a branch for a fence post, and it starts to grow. So it's really hard to kill them, which is a wonderful thing, and it loves marginal soils. If your soil is too rich, we planted some in potting soil, way too rich. They sprouted up and they died. They want marginal, sandy soils.
And there are lots of other benefits, just more peripheral benefits to Moringa, like erosion control. They can be intercropped with other crops. You don't have to use prime farmland. You can plant them around your house, your fence line, places where you don't plant crops, and they'll grow there. Like I said, they're easy to grow, hard to kill. And depending on the climate, it's possible in many places to have just harvest continually. They just continue. Sometimes places where the drought's very extended, they'll drop their leaves towards the end of the dry season. But they are very fast growing. You're going to start pruning these in 3 to 6 months, so you start getting the benefit that fast.
Mm-hmm. So our first projects are in Nicaragua. We went there a little over a year ago, and we were going with another organization called Forward Edge International that's in Vancouver, and they work with families who live in the Managua City dump. And so actually in Nicaragua, we're working in four different areas. The city of León, which is north of Managua, we're working with a church there that is in a community that's quite depressed. There's a lot of malnutrition and dirty water issues. We're also working in Tipitapa, which is a city not far from Managua, with another church that works with families who live in the city dump. And then in Managua, this is the Managua City dump. There's a village inside the dump of about 1,500 to 2,000 people, and we're working with a church called El Faro, which means the lighthouse. It's a Nicaraguan church right outside the dump, and they minister to the families in the dump. And also in Managua, We're working with Via Esperanza. This is a girls' home that was built by Forward Edge International to rescue the girls who live in the dump. Not only are they living in abject poverty, but by the time the girls get to be about 8 years old, the dump is a very dangerous place for them. And so the families have to apply for their girls to come live here. And so they keep their family relationships. The girls go back and visit. The families come here and visit. So what we're doing at the Via is we're working with the staff, teaching them how to grow it and how to use it, teaching the cooking staff how to use it in cooking, and also teaching the girls how to grow it and how to use it so that they'll use it once they're out of the Via.
So we want to just give you a little feel for what La Chareca is like.
La Chareca is the name of the village.
Yeah,
inside
it's the village
the dump.
In the city dump of Managua. And it's in many ways like any other dump.
Hold on, it's searching for it, honey.
Well, I can see it.
Yeah. It'll come up in just a second.
So anyway, you know what a dump looks like. Yeah, there it is. And the people that live in the village, they earn their survival by picking through the garbage. And they're looking for anything of value, something to recycle, unfortunately also something to eat. But that's how they survive, and that's how some cows and birds survive also. This is just one of the streets down the center of the village.
You can see what their houses are made out of, metal, cardboard, plastic, whatever they can find.
And this is...
Oh, went too far back.
Oh. No, that came up next.
Yeah, I'm just looking up here.
Oh.
Okay, there we go. Next one. This is inside. It doesn't like that for some reason, hon. It just went away again. That was inside.
Well, you have to pay attention.
Yeah, be fast. That was inside a little extended family compound there in the dump. And you can just see the conditions that these folks are living in.
Am I moving it around too much? All right.
And then let's just share with you a little bit about the kids who actually live in these conditions.
Yep. Oh, those went really fast. But
yeah.
These are kids like kids everywhere. You know, they're just living their lives. They want to have fun. They're playing. They're joking around with each other. Except for most of these kids, their nutritional intake is so low. And it's just evident. These kids should all have jet black hair. And the kind of lightening, the orangish look to their hair is a sign of nutritional deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So this...
This is just showing you the conditions of their environment. Go ahead, you can just click through these. They'll stay up. This little boy on the left is playing with his toy car in the garbage, and these boys here are drinking their cans of Coke, walking through just some horrible water. And this is where they live and play.
So when we visited... there are more.
Seeing
them. Oh, yeah.
The first time we went
to Nicaragua and toured the dump... We got quite a surprise. We had Google Earthed it, you know. We thought, oh, wow, this is exciting. There's trees growing in there. We're going to be able to, you know, help these people. They're going to be able to plant trees right there. And so when we got there, we found that they were already there. There were moringa trees already growing in the dump.
This is a big one that has a ton of seed pods hanging off of it, and it's right over somebody's house.
This one here... We've spent quite a bit of time at this person's home doing some work around there, or hanging plastic to protect from the rain. And that's their kitchen sink, basically. That tree right behind the kitchen sink is a moringa tree.
Growing right in
the middle.
So they're
probably washing their food, and these leaves are falling into their food from the moringa tree, and they're picking them out, you know, because they don't know.
And this lady here, she has a moringa tree in her yard, and we asked her if she knew what it was, and she said, no, she didn't remember the name, but she uses the flowers to make a tea for when her kids are sick because it helps with their congestion and cough, and that truly is a real use of the leaf or the flowers. And we asked her if she knew anything else about it or if she used it in any other way, and she said, no, she didn't. And this was the look on her face when we were sharing with her, this is what this tree will do.
And this is a picture of Pastor Miriam. She's our champion. We just picked up some friends of ours, actually, from the airport at midnight last night.
who were just flying in from Nicaragua.
They just came in from Managua, and they had just talked to Pastor Miriam this last week while they were there. And she is so excited about Moringa. Her and her husband are the pastors of the El Faro Church that's right outside the city dump. They minister to the families into the dump. And she runs a feeding program that feeds 400 kids, both at the Managua City dump and the other dump at Tipitapa. And her plan is to grow moringa and add moringa leaves and moringa powder to the food that they're feeding the kids in these feeding programs, just to give them that nutritional burst that they need. And I had asked my friend to talk to her about moringa and where she's at with it and all that, and she is just so excited. Her family has now been eating moringa. She's got 8 kids in her family.
For probably about 6 months.
Yeah.
Right after we met her, right after this day, and she got those moringa pods, she went home and planted. We talked to her about moringa. She went home and planted trees. And Rick got back there in January, and she said, oh, good, my tree's 5 feet tall. I need to know what to do. And so,
obviously, she took it to heart what to do and started feeding it to her family. And now she is seeing very positive results. 2 of the kids living with her are HIV positive, and their health has turned around. It has just revitalized them, and all the other kids in her family are just noticeably healthier just after 6 months of starting to use moringa. So that was very exciting news for us. And these are moringa saplings that were planted when we were there in
January.
And they just took it on themselves. The gardener at the Villa just decided that we're gonna make a bunch of saplings and hand them out to people so the staff and their friends can take moringa and start growing it at their home. This is 6 weeks later. 6 weeks of growth for those.
And so they planted about 120 saplings and then started just sending them out with their staff to take home and start sharing them in their community. I mean, these people have just taken hold of moringa, and they're very excited for us to come back and do actual peer educator training. When Rick went down in January, our first trip down was last June, and then he returned in January, and he thought, well, I'll see if there's interest, you know, and see if they won't really want us to come back down. And they not only wanted us to come back down, they said, can you do a training now? And he's like, well, yeah. And they put people on a bus, came down from León. People came from Tipitapa. He put on 2 different seminars for 4 different groups of people. And they're just like, they're ready for it. I mean, this was so put together by God. It's just been incredible.
So we're very excited to return to Nicaragua.
In Tanzania, that will be our next project. We have been invited to come back by the leadership, the Tanzanian leadership of the Church of God there, to continue our work with moringa. They said people that we trained years ago are still using it. They said this is an excellent program for the church. If you would come and train peer educators in the church, so that our churches can use it to reach out, that would be great. So our hope is to go back next year.
And what we were doing in Tanzania was training in two different methods. We were training large group training, a 2-day seminar. We'd have a congregation invite all their neighbors, and we'd go and we'd do this 2-day seminar, give people all the information they needed, and give everybody a small packet of seeds, a little bit of printed information. And so they were able to then just go right home and plant moringa and start using it. The other training method we used was is a week-long intensive training program. And what we did was we'd have those congregations that we did the large-scale training, we'd have them send two people to a central location, and we'd spend a week training them intensely on just more in-depth of how to grow, care for, use, just make moringa part of people's lives and how to train people to use it. And so each congregation would have a couple of peer educators in their congregation as go-to people, people with more answers, more knowledge about it.
So kind of to recap on moringa, is this scruffy-looking tree can provide good food, clean water, and extra income for families. We've got a couple different ways that we're working. You know, when we first started asking God, what do you want this to look like? What do you want this moringa ministry to look like? We're like, do you want us to live just in one place? You know, move overseas and live in one place like we did in Tanzania? And that didn't feel right. And, you know, we're just like, what model do you want us to set this up in? And we thought of Children of Promise, which Children of Promise bases here, and then they work in various countries, and they work with local people who are the leadership for Children of Promise in those countries. And so we thought, that feels right. So that's what we're working towards, and we've got two different kinds of projects, what we call boots-on-the-ground projects, which means that Rick and I actually go there, and we do training, and when Strong Harvest gets bigger, other Strong Harvest staff members will go and do trainings. And so we're working actually on location, and right now we've got Nicaragua, and next year we'll be back to Tanzania. And then in the next couple of years, 2 to 3 years, we're assuming that we'll be able to move into Mexico and to Haiti. We have a lot of contacts in Mexico and Haiti. And in fact, we've already started to send seeds down to someone in Oaxaca and instructions, and they're going to be starting to plant. So we're thinking that that's pretty reasonable in the next few years. We also have co-op projects, which is what's happened is a lot of organizations are saying to us, we want to know what you're doing. We've got people that we're working with that moringa would be a great fit. How can you help us out? How can we work together? And so we call them our co-op partners, and what we do is we provide training materials for them and information, maybe logistics on how to get seeds. And so we're just working together to multiply the knowledge. And so, let's see, right now we've got co-op projects in India, we've got a couple of them in Indonesia, and one in Kenya. The girl who is our co-op partner there, she's a girl who is graduating with a degree in community health, and she's going to Kenya to work in an AIDS village where all the kids are orphans, 900 orphans, orphaned by AIDS, and she's going to be working with moringa over there.
So, of course, ministry work takes money to do.
And okay? We hate that.
We hate that, but there it is. You know, it's just a fact. And so we just wanted to give you an idea of what the impact is for the cost of what it takes to do this. So just looking at the Nicaragua project, what we're going to be doing when we next go down there.
And we're hoping to be able to go in November.
Okay, so we're going to have, we'll probably be there for about 2 weeks. And the cost of actually going to the four different locations and training 40 peer educators is going to be about $3,000. And then, of course, we need to get there. And
I want to say something. Go ahead, honey.
We need to move around the country, airfare, and all of those things.
Up there it says Jinatepe, which is a little side trip we're going to take when we're there. We've met up, one of our board members met up with Guillermo Herrera, who is the Church of God national leader in Nicaragua, and he lives in the little town of Jinotepe, which is about an hour south of Managua. And so he would like us to come down and share what Strong Harvest is doing and see if we can work with the Churches of God in Nicaragua.
So we have $6,300 for total training and travel costs. And to give you an overview of what that looks like, that would, if one team of two peer educators trains 30 people each year, and that's just six families, averaging five people per family, which is kind of conservative for Nicaragua. Their families tend to be rather larger, and everybody's living together. You know, mom, dad, the kids, grandma, grandpa, a couple aunts, maybe uncle. So it's that's fairly conservative there. And so we'd have 20 peer educator teams. So in a year, that would mean that 600 new people are trained and that they would be receiving the benefits of the good nutrition and clean water and the potential for economic improvement in their families. And say 20 years and beyond, you know, the Moringa tree produces, it's in its prime for 20 years. So, of course, people will just plant more, you know, as it starts to fade. But the breakdown of the cost for that over a five-year period.
So what that means is, go ahead and click the next one, is in 1 year, the first year, 600 people have been trained. So that $6,300 divided by 600 people, it cost us $10.50 per person to train. If your peer educators continue to train just six families a year, after 3 years, you'd have 1,800 people trained, and that $6,300 is broken down as $3.50 per person trained. And then at year five, you'd have 3,000 people trained, which reduces the cost to just $2.10 per person trained. And that's for people to get good nutrition, clean water, economic opportunities for years to come. So, I mean, it's a wonderful investment.
And this isn't taking into account the unmeasurable ripple effect, you know, because if your family starts using Moringa and the kids get healthier, your neighbor's going to say, what are you doing? You know, and so that neighbor would share with the other. And so the ripple effect is just really unmeasurable.
So what we really see with Strong Harvest, go ahead, is that the impact of Strong Harvest, it is attainable. It's sustainable in a community, and it's generational. Kids who grow up using Moringa in their home, they're going to use Moringa when they're adults.
You gesture too much. I'm going to end up getting wet.
So what we're looking for now, so that we can actually return to Nicaragua, so that we can go to Tanzania, is we're looking for partnership and support. And go ahead. Mm-hmm. Our first thing that we're looking for, we're calling it growing strong roots, because, of course, everybody knows trees need good, strong roots in order to live and thrive, and so does an organization. So we're looking for people who would want to partner with us for $25 or more per month. What that would do is it would provide a stable foundation for the organization and for the field work. And then the other thing is, keeping with the tree analogy, is branch support. We know that people get a heart for a certain place. I mean, we certainly do. And they want to support maybe the work in Nicaragua. So their donations, they want to go to Nicaragua. And someone else might want to support Tanzania or Haiti or Mexico or the wherever it is that we're working. And so, you know, we would love to have people partner with us in our specific projects.
So this is the front page of our website. Lots of great information there, and so over the next 5 years, we're looking at continuing our work in Nicaragua, moving into work in Tanzania, and as God provides, as the doors open, start working in Mexico or continue actually, and then start working in Haiti and Kenya, and who knows? We don't know where God's going to go with this. And we do realize that as we grow, you know, right now Moringa is our primary focus, but we're open to how God's going to lead. There are other plants, other things that might be an appropriate fit for a place, and we're hoping to be and planning to be flexible enough to fit what's needed for the place, because our ultimate goal is to assist people to meet their most basic needs in ways that empower them and create dignity in the individual. And it's got to be ways that are attainable and sustainable without a continuing influx of funding from outside. It's got to be something that folks can just do themselves, and it can grow from where they are. And that way, it will be passed down from generation to generation. Because as kids grow up in a family that uses Moringa, they're going to grow up and have families that use Moringa. And all of that leads to just a healthier, better way of life, stronger families. And as God's love is shown through this program, through God's provision for people's physical needs, just the body of Christ grows.
So, does anybody have any questions?
Not in the future, no, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a bag of Moringa powder that we bought online, and it came from Ghana, West Africa. Mm-hmm. And when we first started doing this in 2000, there was, you know, very little internet, but very little information that we were able to get a hold of about Moringa. Google Moringa now, and you will get a gazillion hits. It's just, it's prolific, and there's quite a lot of online commerce already happening with it, which is great. And I think you understand this, that it doesn't grow here. We have to buy it from there. It lifts their economy. So it's just a wonderful thing.
And in West Africa, where the Moringa powder we have back on the table is from, in West Africa, it was really the Moringa projects there were started by Church World Service, and they were started about 20 years ago just as local family and community projects, and now West Africa grows it as an export crop, and they're one of the major exporters on the world market. India's number one, and then West Africa. If you like
the smell,
green,
that's good.
Yeah.
Oh yes, it's been used. The oils are used in the cosmetics industry quite a lot. It's a perfect oil for cosmetics because it doesn't go rancid. It's very clear, odorless, mm-hmm. and it's just a very healthy oil. It's similar to olive oil as far as eating it, but you know.
I was at my hairstylist last month, and she said, "Oh, here, let me give you some samples." And it was Biolage, and on the front it said with Moringa oil, and I'm like, "Whoa!" You know, the big companies are starting to use it. I ordered some face cream online from Alme with Moringa in it, so. Yeah, it's definitely moving into more of a worldwide consciousness. People are becoming aware of it.
And it is a very viable thing. Our diets here in America are not great. You know, most of us are not running around malnourished, seriously malnourished, but we are our nutritional levels sometimes are quite challenged, and Moringa is a great thing. We've been eating Moringa for I don't know how long now.
Regularly for about a year, and what we do is about three times a week we add it to smoothies, and it's fabulous. Really, the fruit and stuff. The powder has a really green taste, and some people like that, and some people don't. But if you put it in smoothies, the fruit you put in there, just you don't even taste the powder. But we do tea also. We just put the powder in hot water and add some honey, and it's just great. But the leaves, the fresh leaves, taste either from really mild, or they can go towards the horseradishy end. It really depends
on what soil it
grows in. But you can add it to salads and to soups and to tacos and scrambled eggs, and it's great. Yeah. Any other questions?
Do you all have any issues with local government over there? Do you have to figure out more?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. So far, no.
And we'll let you know.
Yeah, if we do, can you help if we do?
Yeah.
No, actually, that's one of the reasons that we're working with organizations that are already in place. You know, we're not going in as an NGO in that country. We're going in and working with, hopefully, the churches. You know, the times we wouldn't work with the churches is they're not around, you know, and there's a school there or whatever.
Or an orphanage
place. But working with already in-place organizations and training the people in those groups that those groups identify as the right people to do this, that makes it theirs.
Right.
And that's huge. We don't want to come in and do an American project in Nicaragua. We want to come in and help Nicaraguans do a Nicaraguan project in Nicaragua. And that is a huge distinction there.
Right. So I really don't think we'll have issues with governments, but you never know. And we would cross that
we'll
bridge when we, when we come to it.
On the map, it showed where Marengo would roll. And on Papua New Guinea, half of it was colored in and the other half was not.
I have no idea. No clue. You know, the only thing I can think of, just because of the area, I wonder if they just flood. You know, the one thing that will kill Moringa is if it sits in water. You know, if you were to dig a hole and plant a Moringa tree in it and it filled with water, it'd kill it. But I don't know. I've wondered that myself, but... Not really. It's got a serious taproot, so it's going deep for water, and it doesn't require a lot of nutrition. I'm not sure where God's getting it all from to put in the leaves, but it's not from the dirt, you know. Because you can plant.
It has to be from the dirt.
I know it must be, but you know.
But it likes the marginal soils.
Yeah.
Now I would assume that. You know, after it's lived out its useful life, we actually had leaves off of a 50-year-old Moringa tree. Of course, it was still producing. It's just not considered to be in its prime anymore. But some people may just cut down the older trees and then plant again. Yeah. Yeah. Really, I think it's going to be different in every place that we work. Anything else?
Well, thank you again so much for allowing us to come and share with you. And this is just a very exciting thing that's happening in our lives. And we're just really looking forward to what God's going to do with Strong Harvest.